Welcome. It's another edition of Making Money with Ron Hebert, the financial coach, retired portfolio manager. I'm Gord Whitehead, retired broadcaster. Ron, we often mention that we like our listeners to send us questions or show suggestions, and one follows as thus. A listener question. I'm just wondering if the area of royalty companies has been addressed or if there's an opportunity for some commentary. Specifically, a company like Freehold Royalties Limited has a very attractive dividend. The theory is that even if oil prices go way down, this stock would continue to pay its dividend because it earns the income from leasing its owned properties to oil companies, not dependent on prices per se. I can't help but wonder, though, if dropping oil prices would result in a drop in stock price and a cut in the dividend. What would be the risk of this type of holding? Is my confidence in the dividend of this type of company Pollyanna? Thanks so much, Ron and Gord, for the show and the education. So there you go. The floor is yours, my friend. What are royalty and streaming companies?
Well, royalty trusts provide capital to companies in exchange for a portion of or royalty on their revenue in the future. So they're actually like banks. They lend companies money, but instead of getting a fixed interest rate, they usually get a royalty on sales, or they get a royalty on oil produced, or they get a royalty on the amount of ore that's taken out of a mine, that type of thing. So, for example, oil royalty trusts tend to own the mineral rights on the land, and when they lease out some of the land to individuals or companies to drill on, they do that in exchange for a royalty or percentage of any oil they produce. And like I said, metal royalty companies can either receive, after they've lent the money, a fixed cash percentage of any production that's generated on a specific mine, or they can also elect to get a stream of the mine's physical metal that comes out. There's other royalties. They include food sales, revenue from early stage drugs that get approved, income off of business revenue streams. So there's a lot of different ones that we're going to be talking about today.
So if we have an investment portfolio and we're taking a look at this, what are the advantages of holding these in our portfolio?
Well, one big advantage is that revenue is based, for the royalty company, is based on sales and not on profits. And this is way more consistent and provides a much more stable income stream because profits go up and down and up and down depending on the business cycle. But often you look and sales tend to be pretty consistent. You know, if a company is going to sell so many units of a product like at a fast food restaurant, you know, their profits might suffer because in hard times they have to cut their prices and their profits get skinny. But the sales often are pretty steady, and that's what the income off royalty trusts is determined off of, is sales. Also, royalty companies often provide capital to companies that are unable to get conventional financing, so they can often cut some really, really great deals to get some very, very high royalty rates. Royalty companies have low overhead because they don't actually operate a business. They lend out money and then they just sit there and receive it and put it in the bank, so they need an accounting staff and a couple people to evaluate and approve any new royalty streams that come on. But they're what we call skinny businesses. In other words, they don't have a lot of assets. They don't have a lot of overhead. They don't have a lot of employees. It's a very, very simple business. Also, royalty companies don't have much execution risk. You know, for example, look at gold companies. The gutter's full of companies that never reach their potential because they didn't fulfill their goals or make it to their business plan. And, royalty companies, typically, if a company is having sales, that's all they need, is the profits don't have to be that great. As long as the sales are there, they'll pull a revenue off of it.
Yeah, we've heard enough gold mining stories about, we're going to hit the big bonanza on this, and nothing ever happens, right?
Exactly. So you're much better off owning a gold stream, you know, getting so much gold or copper or silver that comes out of one of those mines, and then you can turn around and sell it yourself. So especially in precious metals, Gord, where They have so many unexpected problems and prices, and a lot of gold mines now are in geopolitical places. The politics and the religion, they just flare up and mines get closed, they get nationalized. You know, there's business risk here. Well, royalty companies, most of them have hundreds and hundreds of royalties that they're getting off different mines. So it really spreads the risk around, and you don't have execution risk. Whereas many of the big gold companies, for example, maybe they have three or four big mines that produce the bulk of their profits. Well, you know, when you've got a royalty company that has it spread out, so maybe no individual mine or property represents more than 1% or 2% of their income streams, it's a lot more diversified and a lot safer.
Okay, so obviously there has to be another side of this ledger. What are the disadvantages to these items?
Well, the disadvantages are, for example, today we're seeing rising interest rates. And, you know, I've been buying bonds for the last 6 to 9 months, Gord, yielding between 5 and 6.25%. And so that's virtually risk-free. I'm buying government bonds. I'm buying corporate bonds with AA credit ratings or higher. And so there isn't a lot of risk in doing this. And so when competing virtually risk-free investments appear on the scene, royalties don't appear quite as attractive. And so often their prices fall because investors switch to fixed income because the yields are competitive and the principal safer. And a second big risk is royalty and streaming companies are still subject to the overall strengths and weaknesses of the economy. So if the economy is weak, often the royalty and streaming companies are also going to find weakness in earnings. So, you know, they're not immune. They're less prone to the big economic factors, but still, they're not immune.
Now, there are some examples of these kinds of trusts, and when at the top of the show you sort of mentioned off several of them, one of them was food companies, and the first one on your list here is A&W Royalties Income Fund. Is that the restaurant chain? Must be.
That's the restaurant chain. This trust has 1,047 restaurants in Canada that collect a 3% royalty in all the stores' sales, not their profits. And so the symbol is AW.UN, trades in Toronto. It's 15 times earnings. It has a very juicy yield of 6.3%. And you're not buying these units, Gord, because you expect a big increase in price. Really, over the last 5 years, the price has gone nowhere. And you bought it because the yield's been very, very consistent on these things. So if you're looking for income, and, you know, the fast food industry, it's competitive, but A&W Royalties has proved to be one of those companies that's been very agile. You know, they've switched to meat that isn't injected with antibiotics, and they've done a number of other things where, and they've had a good advertising campaign. So, you know, the last few years, these guys have proved that they've been pretty agile.
I would suspect there must be some healthcare outfit in this forest, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a company called DRI Healthcare Trust, symbols DHT.UN. And what this company does is it lends money or invests in companies that are developing drugs. And most of the drugs that are being developed or hit their radar screen are in late phase two and beyond, which means they're getting closer to development and the risk drops. They have literally 2,500 different products that they have invested in. Now, some of them are just going to fail. I mean, the tests will prove that they're not effective, but some of them are going to be huge winners. So the roughly 80% of DHT's deals are traditional royalties. In other words, if the drug makes it through the trial, starts producing revenue, then they're going to get a royalty stream off that. DRI is trading at 11 times earnings, has a yield of 2.8%, and its three-year increase in stock price has been 70%, so they've had really solid returns.
We touched on mining, and we specifically looked at gold miners. Let's take a look at one of those. There must be one on the list somewhere.
Yeah, there's two. The first one is Franco-Nevada, and it's the granddaddy of all royalty mining companies. Symbol is FNV. It trades on Toronto. It's 30 times earnings, got a yield of 1.2%, and its five-year price increase is 61%. Now, Franco-Nevada operates as a gold-focused royalty and streaming company, and they've got properties in Latin America, United States, and Canada, and some internationally, but the bulk of their mines are in what we call politically safe jurisdictions. And the company manages its portfolio with a focus on precious metals. Most of it's in gold. They have some silver and platinum group metals, and they also have a smaller division which gets royalties off of crude oil and natural gas. The company was founded in 1986. It's headquartered in Toronto. And the stock actually has been hurt recently by the shutdown of First Quantum's massive copper mine in Panama. So even blue chip names like this, they'll have their days in the sun. They'll also have times where, you know, this mine has been shut down. So their royalty stream is shut down until First Quantum can renegotiate with the Panamanian government and get that mine up and running again.
Now, you mentioned there was another company in this sector along with Franco-Nevada. Which one does that run?
It's Wheaton Precious Metals, symbol WPM, or PE's 39, yields 1.3, and they've gone up literally 100% in the last 5 years. I mean, it helps we're in a bull market for precious metals. Wheaton originally focused on simply financing silver producers, and over the last few years, they've expanded their activities to include other precious metal miners and products as well. So this has been a very solid performer over the last 5 years.
You mentioned iron in there, iron ore. Is there somebody, like we think about, I can recall Labrador being a big iron ore producer. Is that an actual one of these units?
That's an actual unit, yes. Labrador Iron Ore, symbol is LIF. They're 10 times earnings, and iron ore pellets have dropped in price, but it's got a very nice yield of 6.2%. Over the last 5 years, the price has gone really nowhere. And this is a royalty company that derives all of its revenue from its investment in the Iron Ore Company of Canada. Now, IOC is one of the biggest North American producers of iron ore pellets, and the company's operations are all located in Labrador City, Newfoundland. So it's in a safe jurisdiction, and the mine life has a 24-year reserve life, so there's lots of reserves there. And when iron ore prices go higher, you know, often you can see the yield on this rise to well over 10%. So what the yields that you're going to get is going to be based on what they sell and what they can produce, and that can go up and down. So some years it's better than others.
And the last one, or one of the last ones we want to take a look at, is the one that was the question was posed about, freehold royalties.
Now, let's talk about Freehold. The symbol is FRU, and they're currently got a nice yield of 6.4%. And because oil prices have gone up, literally these guys have increased their share price by 73% over that period. Freehold, essentially what they do is they have land where they own the royalty rights or the mineral rights on the property. So they have interests. These properties have crude oil, natural gas liquids, and a few of the properties even have potash underneath them. And these properties are scattered across Western Canada and the United States. But here again, the yield's good. The price to cash flow is very reasonable at 7 times. But the dividend has been cut twice in the last decade. So you've got to be careful with these things because, frankly, when oil prices are in a bear market, nobody's out there drilling. And what these companies need is, because oil and gas royalty trusts, when they lease out a property, there's depletion. On average, you're going to get 15% less oil or gas next year than you did the year before, and that depletion rate continues until until it's dry well, right? Well, so you always need more drilling, and that's the downside of any of the oil and gas or any of the mining ones as well. I mean, you deplete the property, so you always have to be going out and getting new royalties. And in these cases, These guys always have to be going out and getting new companies to come in and are willing to drill on the property to produce more oil and gas. I mean, you need 15% a year of new findings just to keep revenue the same, assuming a flat oil price. So when you've got weak oil prices, nobody wants to do that, and they will see their royalties fall. Final one on the list, Gord, is Prairie Sky. PSK trades on Toronto, yield 3.7%. They're up 46% in the last 5 years, and they own royalty rights in Western Canada. So to put it all in a nutshell, if you're looking for a more conservative way to play mining stocks and oil and gas stocks specifically, royalty trusts definitely fit the bill. And if you're looking at a ways to get into sectors like certainly if you're looking at drug patents and things like that, you're better off buying something like a DRI than you are an individual company that might have one drug that they're trying to stick handle their way through the different phases of medical trials. And certainly for food, if you're looking for income, well, A&W is the kind of company, and there's Boston Pizza has one, and there's other ones out there. I just took some of the bigger ones where you can get a conservative income that's based on sales and not profits, which keeps the prices pretty steady. So this is an area that if you're looking for some income or you're looking for a less volatile way to play the metals or oil and gas, these are worth a look.
Yeah, I can remember going to A&W's when I was a teenager, and they had car hops come out, put the tray on your window, and they're still around. You don't have to look very far to find an A&W as an example, right?
That's for sure.
All right, Ron, we're back next week. Where are we going to dip our toes next time around?
I think next time around, Gord, we're going to be looking at Canadian depository receipts, which are essentially U.S. stocks that trade in Canada, and you don't have to worry about the conversion. So it's not a bad way to get some income off and exposure to U.S. stocks without having the currency problems associated with moving money to the U.S. or another foreign currency and buying.
All right, we're back next week with another edition of Making Money. As this show was a suggestion, a question from a listener, we invite those. Let'smakemoney.ca is our website, or you can reach us through our friends at cfcw.com, where the show is hosted. On behalf of the financial coach, Ron Hebert, I'm Gord Whitehead. We will join you again next week.
The information presented is derived from sources believed to be reliable. This material is presented for information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice. Before acting on any investment information, a person should seek advice from an investment professional. The presenters may or may not hold positions in the securities discussed on this show and will not be responsible for any losses sustained from acting on this information.